This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick for his view of today's markets. Nick, how are you doing? Good afternoon.
Hey, Johnny. I'm good. Good to be back with you.
Now, before we talk about what's happening today and beyond, we should reflect a little on those US CPI numbers yesterday, which showed inflation at a level of 2.7%, slightly below expectations, but there were mixed numbers, weren't they, as far as markets were concerned from these figures?
That's right. And basically, when you say mixed, it's a perfect word for it, because you did have the headline CPI, which I think, you know, they call it headline CPI for a reason. It's kind of what gets everybody excited. We did get a 2.7% year-over-year CPI read, which was below the forecast of 2.8%. And for listeners who are maybe newer to this stuff, this is what always matters to markets. Is it's not necessarily the reading, it's what the reading is compared to what was expected, right? The market is always kind of looking forward, sort of predicting these things, trying to make a best educated guess. So essentially, the educated guess from the economic community, or aka Wall Street thought we were going to get 2.8%. We got 2.7%. So the market cheered, the dollar moved lower. But the reason I say mixed is a good phrase for it is because core CPI, which removes food and energy from the calculation that they do to measure the inflation, actually showed a rise to 3.1% year over year. And that was forecasted to be at 3%. So yes, there was a cooler than expected headline overall CPI, but the specific to the non-food and energy component, the core CPI did come in a little bit, I wouldn't say super hot, but it was warmer than expected. So there was a little bit of mixed sentiment there. Actually, yesterday, what was interesting is you did see bond yields relatively unchanged. That being said, today they are lower as probabilities for a rate cut in September are now all but priced in terms of the market's expectation.
And we've spoken about this before, Nick. What about the likelihood of a cut in September? I mean, surely it's nailed on at least at 25 basis points, but could it be even higher?
Well, actually, it's interesting that you said that because Scott Bessent, the U.S. Treasury Secretary, actually made the suggestion, of course, not too surprisingly, of course, you know, he's in the Trump administration team, that they should cut by 50 basis points in the September meeting. But in regards to what the bond market has expected for the upcoming Fed meeting, well, it's a 99.9% chance, according to the FedWatch tool, which factors in what the bond market price action is doing. And so pretty much the expectation is we're going to see a rate cut in September. But I actually went one further than that, Johnny, and I looked out to the end of the year, December, and we've seen this as a moving target. When we came into the year, some people said we're going to get one rate cut, some people said zero, some people said two. We're actually now pricing in 2 to 3 rate cuts. Now, does that mean that there's a guarantee that we're going to get 2 to 3 rate cuts? No, because it also depends how the chairman, Jerome Powell, what he has to say. We have the Jackson Hole Symposium coming up, which is their annual meeting where they discuss. Usually that's where they take the opportunity to really outline plans in more detail. So we could see some interesting stuff from Jerome Powell in coming weeks and months. But I think the big thing is that, okay, the bond market pretty much is pricing in, we're going to get a rate cut. And that's why yesterday and today, we did see a pretty much across the board risk on rally. Specifically, the dollar index fell and the NASDAQ and the S&P 500. And very notably, the Russell, the small cap index, really exploded yesterday. It was up over 3% in response to this. So the pretty much locking in rate cuts for September was enough to get the market excited and continue its high momentum move to the upside. So I think the probabilities for rate cuts pretty much are confirmed for September. And now the next great debate, as the markets are always forward looking, is to say, well, what is the probability that we're going to get 2 rate cuts or 3 rate cuts by the end of the year? You know, the argument for rate cuts has clearly become more prominent with, you know, that NFP report and the firing of, you know, the Bureau of Labor Statistics person. And now all that drama about jobs data starting to come in a little bit soft. How behind are we on that? And with the idea that, okay, inflation is not skyrocketing like the even Chairman Jerome Powell. I mean, this is where the criticism for Powell has really ramped up, has been saying, you know, he made the prediction just like he did a couple of years ago with the transitory inflation thing in 2020 and 2021. He also made the prediction multiple times that he, you know, tariff inflation could cause prices to rise. And you know, that was why he wasn't cutting interest rates. And so now there's pushback on him because of making that prediction, rather than perhaps being, quote unquote, too late, according to Trump, on cutting interest rates. And there is a serious risk there. If you wait too long to cut interest rates, employment data could really worsen. But to be fair to Powell, he has a really hard job. He has the job of predicting the future, which is impossible to do perfectly. So you have to cut him a little bit of slack. The Fed chair kind of always has the role of being the scapegoat for the current president to blame when things go wrong. And then, of course, if things go right, Trump will take the credit, right? So that's kind of the age old, I forget who said it, but it's one of the notorious Fed chair. I think it might have been Alan Greenspan, but the phrase of basically, you know, the chairman plays the role of the president's scapegoat. When things go bad, you can always kind of blame the Fed when something goes wrong. It's almost, I've heard people say that that's part of the reason why the role was created in the first place, maybe satirically. But anyways, the point is rate cuts seem to be on. Probabilities for rate cuts for the remainder of the year remain elevated. And I think that, you know, you have a situation in which inflation seems to be kept at bay and labor data is softening a little bit. So the market is saying it looks like it's time to cut rates.
Indeed, and lower oil prices are certainly helping those inflation figures, which will be welcomed by all. And one of the reasons for those lower oil prices is the hopes over the upcoming meeting between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin in Alaska on Friday. It'll be their first in-person encounter since Trump returned to the White House. And, you know, there is strangely an optimistic view as to what is kind of going to come out of this. But markets certainly like it. Oil prices certainly like it. And I suppose we should just take that positivity for what it is.
Yeah, and I think, you know, critics of Trump will say, you know, he's willing to give away too much. And people who support him will say, well, it's in the efforts of stopping the violence and all that. You can go back and forth on that. But in terms of what you said, the markets seem to like it because the markets want that, you know, that spending to stop to Ukraine from the US, from militaries around the world. But they also love the idea of just more security in the region, even if it comes at a cost to the Ukrainians, right? So again, politics aside, the market's like, hey, that's a good positive factor. And so oil prices, as you pointed out, that would tell you the market's reaction is, okay, oil prices are lower because things look like they're going to get resolved. However, there was a little bit of pushback on from Zelensky saying he refuses to give up the Donbass region, which is to be expected. We'll see how it all shakes up. It does. There is some volatility potential there, Johnny, too, because if things break down, I mean, we saw the Zelensky Trump, the infamous meeting that they had, which completely terrified the market when the meeting was cut short by Trump and JD Vance. So, you know, there is that potential that you get something shocking. I think that one thing I would be really cautious about in this market is that you are looking at a volatility index reading. The VIX is at 14.6 at the time of recording this podcast. Now, the reason I bring that up is that is very, very low volatility relative to recent history. To put things in perspective, the VIX went up to 60 during the April sell-off that we saw in markets. Now, when volatility gets very low like this, what we want to be cautious about is that, you know, the markets are kind of cheery. They're all like, hey, everything is good. And that is just when the markets are ripe for kind of a shocker move. So not to say that I think that that's going to necessarily happen on Friday, but it creates these possibilities where one negative surprise could send the markets into turmoil.
As we saw last time in the infamous meeting between Trump and Zelensky in the White House, which shocked just about everybody across the world. I remember seeing it live, and markets certainly didn't like that. Any repeat of that on Friday in Alaska and we could see some sort of roller coaster happen within markets. Before I let you go, Nick, we don't actually talk about Bitcoin or crypto as much as we used to on this podcast, but we should add that Bitcoin has risen above that $120,000 mark over the last few days, a psychological mark that it is. And it seems like the only way is up at the moment.
It certainly feels that way, especially when coming off of what we just discussed about markets as a whole. You have stocks running, you have the dollar dropping, the VIX is at multi-month lows. And then, of course, what fits right in is cryptocurrencies are making another run for it. Not to mention the slew of high-risk stocks and you know, speculative stocks that are exploding. You have space stocks that are doing really well. So you have all these different high-risk speculative investments that are going crazy. Cryptocurrency is playing its part, of course, trading at currently 100 and just shy of 122,000 Bitcoin, that is. What's also interesting is Ethereum is also up dramatically here recently at 4650 at the time of recording. That is a pretty remarkable move for the cryptocurrency crowd. Just goes to show the market sentiment right now is it can do no wrong. Things look really good. And I would argue that, you know, the contrarian perspective right now would potentially be to be more cautious or risk adverse or even bearish on some of these things, but definitely contrarian because right now they just seem to be going up every day. So I don't know. I'm not a bet that I think is one that I personally like, but the contrarian perspective would be, you know, things are getting a little bit excitable out there and are a little bit prone to a shock surprise and across multiple assets, whether it be stocks or crypto, et cetera.
Okay, Nick, Trader Nick, thanks very much for joining us today. We'll speak to you again on Friday. Have a good day.
Thanks, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.